to our temperance episode, where we will help you find your inner alchemist.
Here at Strange Magic, Amanda and I talk about our views on tarot and the ways in which we practice magic.
And we understand that other people have different ways of practicing and different interpretations of the tarot, and that's totally okay.
Take what you'd like and leave the rest. We're here. We're queer.
And we're used to it.
And we're talking about temperance.
We made it to the end of the season.
This is our last episode of season two. We are so incredibly grateful for all of you listening. We just have a couple of announcements to make before we get into the meat of this card.
Let's do this. Let's go into the territory. Let's cross the threshold of announcements and go in.
So the first announcement we have to make is that there is a very special performance that the one, the only, Carolyn Penny Packer Riggs is presenting July 13th at the Getty Center. It is going to be a gorgeous performance around constellations. There will be bells, there will be costumes, there will be beautiful singing. You can get more information by going to getty.edu, and we'll put that in the show notes. And also Amanda and I will be there, so you'll get to say hi.
Yes, please come up and say hello.
LA Witches. And the last thing about that performance is that it is free, but there is a fee for parking. So you might want to look that up ahead of time. But it's going to be a gorgeous, beautiful night under the stars. And we can't wait to celebrate art and beauty and constellations with all of you.
I know it's going to be super, super special. So please do come out. We're so excited to see this masterpiece unfold. Another thing. So we won't be seeing y'all over the summer, but if you want to keep in touch with us, for me, I think I have a few last bookings available, one or two, I think, if you want to book me for a session. But mainly, if you want to stay in touch, you're going to want to subscribe to my newsletter. You can do that at www.oracleoflosangeles.com. And I just want to give one last little plug for my book, my baby, my child, the thing that I have sweat and labored over, and which I think you're really going to like, because it really talks about witchcraft and empowerment and feminism and how to do all of it and wrestles with it and the meaning of it and talks about fairy tales and wise folks and how to deal with your trauma. You can get that anywhere books are sold online. You're going to pre-order it. It's called Initiated Memoir of a Witch. And yeah, if you feel so inspired, please do go ahead and grab a pre-order for that, because that can make the difference to a first-time author in being able to ever publish another book. So if you think you might get it, now would be a good time to do that.
It is a riveting, ambitious tale.
Thank you.
Of yeah. magic.
I
yeah.
feel like I really did the chariot on that one and aimed for the highest
moon.
Aim stars. For the highest moon. Aim for the stars.
Solar system.
The Pleiades.
Yeah. And my only announcement is you can sign up for my newsletter. I'll put the link in the show notes. I am not seeing clients this year because I am writing a book and it's taking a lot of my time. But the way that I'm sort of fulfilling my tarot obsession is through teaching. So I'll be teaching an online class in the fall. It starts in September. It's called Elemental Intuition, and it's a class about working with the different elements to enhance and connect to your intuition, the elements being water, earth, fire, air. And we're also going to do a dive into the minors to kind of help us learn more about the minor arcana and the tarot. So if you do want to hear more information about that, you do want to sign up for my newsletter, and I'll put the link to check out the class in the show notes as well. Just know that I'll be thinking about all of you as I am writing my book and as I am preparing for this like exciting 4-week long class. It's going to be really fun. I'm getting excited just working with it, and learning the elements with the minors really unlocked the minors for me magically and literally. So I'm really excited to talk about all of that with you. So that's my little announcement.
That class sounds so great. So why should you care, gentle listener, about the Temperance card? Let us break it down for you.
If they feel bereft or out of balance spiritually.
When you're just coming out of a period of loss and now you're in recovery.
Maybe you want to tap into your higher self or begin to contemplate higher consciousness or go deeper into connecting to the super consciousness or the collective consciousness. You might want to work with this archetype.
Or maybe you're ready to gather the fragments of your life and sew them into something more, something greater.
Yeah. Amanda, I love this card so much.
I love this card too, because it's about focusing on healing.
So let's get right into it. Let's talk about the more traditional visuals of this card.
Let's do it. Okay, so first thing we see is an angel with a sun crown or the sun symbol. The angel has wings. It's got 1 foot on the ground, 1 foot in water. A path leads out of the water to the mountains where we see a rising sun. We also see iris flowers blooming in the water. Iris is the goddess of the rainbow and a messenger. She's the female equivalent of Hermes, god of healing, among other things. And iris, also rainbows, appear after the deluge, after the flood. The rainbow links heaven and earth, above and below, already touching on some of the alchemical aspects of this card. Ooh, so something that I really want to talk about is, you know, in the card you see this kind of river that the angel is stepping in, and then there's a path that leads from that up into the mountains. But we recognize that it's a very similar image to the one that we see in the moon card. Except in the moon card, when you're walking that path from the water to the mountains, you're doing it in the dark, and there's no angel to help you. You're chased by the monsters of the deep. You're a little bit more adept by that point, but in the Temperance card, you're assisted by your guides and your guardians and your angels, and you have the light of awareness to guide you. So note then that when the Temperance card appears in a reading, you're often going to be supported by helpers, by gifts, by resources, by assistance in various forms. You are the healer, but also healers and other assistants towards your well-being are likely to appear in your life. You're going to find internal resources that you didn't know you had in order to cope with the changes that the death card hath wrought previously. You are going to find the resource to pull you through that.
Yeah, what I really love about the overall look and feel of this card is that there's just a brightness there. There's a hopefulness there. There's either in the background a sun kind of rising or setting, or a kind of nebulous consciousness that's rising from above the mountains that sort of matches the halo or the lines of awareness, concentration, vibration, and magic that is emanating from the angel's head. So I really think of it as a card of the dawn after the sunset or darkness of death.
I love how we can see that sun in the background reflected in the crown of the angel, that same sun, as if our own consciousness is illuminated by this greater source.
Let's go a little bit deeper into some of the particular symbols in the card.
Let's do.
On the angel's chest, sort of in the front of their robe, is a triangle inside of a square. So I think of the triangle as being solar, as being upright energy. I also think about number 3. So I think about the Empress. Then the square has 4 sides. I think of the Emperor, number four. I think of material form, stability, spirit rising from containment. And then we have the 3 plus 4, which is 7. That is the number of the chariot. So the chariot is the last card of the first line if we're using three lines to divide the major arcana. So in the chariot, we have individuation, we have developing consciousness, we have a breaking away of the familiar. And temperance, as we know, is the last card on the second line of the line of dealing with our interior, our inner journeying, our subconscious, the dissolution of the ego. We also know that 7, among other things, implies the 7 stages of alchemy. So it's all kind of right there with that triangle and with that square sort of leading on shielding the heart of this angel that has come to earth.
Oh, that's so beautiful. In my research, I was noticing that the three corners of the triangle also represent the three philosophical elements of the alchemists, in contrast to the regular four elements, which we see in the square, right? And so the three philosophical elements are sulfur equaling fire, salt equaling earth, mercury equaling water and air. This is according to our friends Akron and Banzoff.
Our besties.
Our besties who are in the show notes. But this is kind of blew my mind, is that I saw that it correlates in a contemporary level to the building blocks of the cosmos, that is protons, neutrons, and electrons.
I love that. Yeah.
I love that so much. So I wanted to touch on the Latin phrase in the Thoth deck, where you'll see it says surrounding the angel that appears there, visita interiora terrae rectificando invenfies occultum lapidum.
Did you just cast a spell on me?
Yes, I did. And you are going to thank me later. So it says, visit the interior parts of the earth. By rectification, you shall find the hidden stone. So what does that mean?
The philosopher's stone.
Yeah, it's talking about the philosopher's stone. It's talking about how in the death card, when we become bones, we are buried in the earth. We visit the interior parts of the earth like the dead. We decompose, we transform, we change form, and then we rise. So to find the hidden stone, the philosopher's stone, the alchemical gold, the jewel, the precious thing, the miracle, which is nothing less than the mystical secret of birth, death, regeneration, eternal life. It's about recognizing the illusion of death and recognizing the illusion of separation. With the death card, we change form, whether we like it or not. But in the temperance card, we return from death with agency. We're no longer afraid of death. We've passed through the valley of death. And then we take a hand in our own healing process.
So much to think about, right? So who or what is this mysterious angel? There are a lot of interpretations of who this angel really is. First, let's just posit that it might be temperance. That is one of the four cardinal virtues that we've spoken about before on the show. I believe we go into more detail on these in the Tarot Grids episode. And I also think, Amanda, you talk about it in the Justice episode too. So similar to Justice, this angel might be, in quotes, temperance, i.e. the personification of the virtue that we're just seeing, right, to remind us. This also could be the symbol of our pure spirit, the one that emerges after the dissolution processes we go through in the Hanged One and in the Death card. We can see the process of line 2 as a metaphor for a metamorphosis of our personality. So if this card is showing up in your life, you might be changing aspects of your personality. You might be getting back to your soul's dreams and desires and sort of that pure heartbeat of who you are. your temper, as it were, might be changing. Other interpretations of this card I've read are the archangels Raphael and Michael, the Greek goddess Iris, a beautiful goddess indeed. I've also read an interpretation of this angel as being an intersex being, a child or offspring of Hermes and Aphrodite. Mm. The androgynous quality of the angel can emphasize balance and collaboration of masculine and feminine energies together. You know, we see this a number of times in the majors. We see this in the lovers. They're separate, but they're kind of in the same frame. We, of course, see this in the world. So we see this kind of theme of co-mingling of masculine and feminine to create a sort of magical balance. Last but not least, the angel could symbolize our spirit, our higher self, or any guardian angels, guides, or other celestial helpers we have that are coming in to help us. Another symbol I wanted to take note of that not so many folks talk about, but like intrigued me once, it was sort of one of those little Easter eggs I talk about as Pamela Coleman Smith sharing with us, hiding with us, encoding with us, are the woven words in the neck. The Hebrew name of God is transliterated in four letters as Yahweh or Jehovah right there in the neck. So we see that there is this element of the great spirit in the sky, kind of as it were.
I love that the angel that you refer to is standing in water and standing on land. So what does that mean? Well, gentle listener, water, as you know, represents emotion, the unconscious, the cosmic, and the imaginative, whereas land represents earth, materiality, work, the body. So to have one foot on either means that you are grounded and safe in the body, but also connected to the imagination and to the emotional body, to the emotional source. We're balancing things like wet and dry, inner and outer, internal and external. So in order to tap into your intuition, represented by water, you must be grounded in the earth. You need to be nourished. You need to have your material needs provided for. And then you can be free to let your art, which is another name for this card in the Thoth deck, it's called art. Then you can be free to let your art run wild and go where it will, to run like the river in whatever direction it wants to go. An important thing to remember for those of us who are artists, sometimes the best thing you can do for your work is to secure a stable income so that you can allow yourself to be free in your heart and mind. I wanted to say one more thing. The cups. The angel is holding these two cups. He's he, she, they, pouring water back and forth between these two cups. Here's something interesting about them. The water doesn't just drop straight down. It defies physics, much like protons, neutrons, and electrons might misbehave. It goes kind of sideways. It slants. So why is that? Well, I think it goes back to what I was saying about how when you are grounded in the earth, you can let your water, your emotion, your imagination do things that are unexpected, unexplained, that go into different territories because you are so rooted and because you are so grounded. Why do you think, Sarah, the cups are pouring water in that weird way?
I think that it is a nod if you kind of go back historically. I'm not going to get into it at all, but I am a nerd and I like knowing my history, as it were.
I love your nerdy self.
Thank you. You know, there is a nod to Christ and other ritual deities. I'm not going to get into that because what I actually think it's about is once we've gone through the entire process of strength through death, nothing is impossible.
Right. Things get weird after death. We go into a whole new realm of consciousness and existence. But I do love what you were saying about Christ, because that reminds me of like the Holy Grail. And,
right.
You know, in like Arthurian legend, the idea of the Holy Grail as being that thing that you're questing for, that thing that you believe in, that thing that you will go the extra mile for, that you will pursue with purity of heart. And that is really what this card is about. So.
Absolutely. I also think it's a nod to a theme we're going to get into later, which is this angel is a master alchemist.
Yes.
And they can turn water into wine. They can make water flow upstream. They, with their sheer focus, like you said, Amanda, with being grounded, with taking in all of the elements, with their focus, they can make the impossible possible.
Beautiful. Shall we talk numbers?
We shall. I love numbers.
Let's do this.
Okay, so temperance, or art, as it were, is number 14. That is connected to the Hierophant, right? Because 1 + 4 = 5. So temperance, if you subscribe to the kind of Mary Kay Greer school of thought, temperance is the teacher card for the Hierophant. So I just want to briefly compare both of these cards visually. Both figures have flowing robes. They're both white and red. The Hierophant is sort of raised on a kind of throne, kind of sitting and sort of rigid, or maybe kind of posed within an institution indoors. The angel in temperance is hovering quite magically and engaged in nature and their surroundings. The Hierophant is a speaker and orator prepared in the setting of what they have kind of come to do with eyes on them. The angel appears to be taking in and listening from every source that they can. So when I think about temperance as being a teacher card, I think about flow. I think about being okay with a different form of spirituality. For example, the occult versus an organized religion, right? It's about aiming higher than only the material realm. It is as much about being than as it is about being seen, that can sometimes accompany the archetype of the Hierophant.
Yes, yes, and yes, that is such an interesting connection. I also want to add to that that the card Temperance corresponds to Sagittarius in astrology in the 9th house. So in the Thoth deck, we see Will Crowley, who was partial creator of this deck, says that the angel is in fact Artemis or Diana, the goddess of the hunt, and he correlates it to the moon. We see that she's got 4 breasts there, and so that's like
freak. He's such a freak.
No, it corresponds to Diana of the Ephesians, right? That famous sculpture of Diana, multi-breasted, like a wolf mother.
I have to look that up. I've never seen that.
I have it here, and you can see it, and maybe I will link to it in the show notes. But you know, Diana, of course, Artemis is the archer, right?
Yeah.
And this is where things start to get weird. We make some major connections here. The rainbow in Hebrew, Tav Shin Kof, is the same as the word for Sagittarius in Hebrew, which is bow or archer. So this card is talking about the archer, Diana, the rainbow, Iris. Mm. Also, Michael is the Archangel Michael is associated with this card. So as you were saying, this card is intersex. Truly, it often appears as a single figure with 2 heads or faces. And for me, this represents the union of the lovers card, right? Where we have the polarities, masculine, feminine, for instance, that start to come together in union in the lovers card, which in this card have achieved that union where we've become gender non-binary.
I love that so much. I also love thinking about that as a kind of visualization of a collective, or like a collective unconsciousness, like mycelium, or the way we are kind of connected in this web of life sort of together, and how yeah, how can you visualize that, right? You know, with like different morphing body parts or things like that. It's really cool. Just one last little thing about the number 14. Barbara Walker in The Secrets of the Tarot speaks about number 14 as being the amount of days that Osiris was in the underworld until Isis was able to take him back. So there's this idea here with Temperance about what can survive death. When you get this card, you can ask yourself, what do you believe survives deaths of all kinds? Is it love, spirituality, forgiveness, activism, art, creativity? It's just something to think about with this number.
Ooh, yes, that is so important. And I shall add to that that just going on with the archer a little bit, that idea of aiming for something. You know, the archer has this singular focus and this unification of will that just effortlessly releases the arrow to the bullseye, right? And that's what Diana is doing. That's what Sagittarius is doing. It's this clarity of focus that I feel like really comes through with this card.
Who doesn't love a beautiful, optimistic Sagittarius?
Yeah, I love them too. So in the death episode, I talked about pine cones. That's right. The pine cone released, its seeds are released through fire, right? The death card sweeps in, burns the pine cone up. It releases its seeds. And I always see the angel in the Temperance card as walking through this burned field and gathering these seeds and picking them up and cultivating them and nourishing them and growing them into a new forest. In a sense, this card also speaks to the phoenix. You are the phoenix. Before the phoenix can be reborn, the phoenix is the magical, mystical bird that rises from its own ashes. But before the phoenix can be reborn, all the weight she was holding has to be let go. What is that weight? I see it kind of like the third version of Back to the Future. Do you guys remember? But like, what?
Remind me, dear.
Okay. What's the third episode? You guys get it. Back to the Future 3. Okay. So remember the scene.
Is it when he's like an older guy? Like Michael J. Fox is older?
I might be mixing them up, but I'm going to tell you the scene that I mean.
Thank you.
Okay, weird Doc Holliday or whatever his name is.
Cool Doc.
I can't. It's not Doc Holliday. You know who
right,
I'm talking
we
about.
We know. We're, yeah.
The doctor. Yeah. Mad scientist.
The mad scientist. Inventor.
He says, where we're going, we don't need roads.
I remember that. It is a famous quote.
And, oh, that's in one. Okay, never mind the three. Whatever. We get it. We remember that scene. Where we're going, we don't need roads. And then the mad professor puts trash in the fuel tank. It's like turning all your trash into fuel, catalyzing it into something new and useful. But here's the question. What is trash? Trash is things that are no longer useful, no longer necessary, things that are weighing us down and getting in our way. The rind, the unedible parts. In the death card, we put them in the compost bin. We put them in our flux capacitor. And in the Temperance card, we take that compost and put it in our vegetable garden or in our DeLorean, and we use it to go somewhere. The phoenix rises from the ashes, finding new forms for old things. So, for artists, that might mean repurposing old artworks. For writers, that might mean folding old stories into new poems. Maybe you're going to work on restoring an old house or rejuvenating your local wetlands. This is about taking old things and recombining them, using your trash in creative and beautiful ways. If you get this card in a love reading, you might be about to make things work again with an old flame or bring people together who are having a feud. Whenever this card appears, if it's upright, you know you are ready to get creative to make things work.
It's like a remix.
With a DJ. Bam, 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 bam,
bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam. Another basic principle of this card is that of merging, blending connections, making connections between various parts of your life. A lot of times, you know, when the Chariot comes up, the card that's right above this card, if you're putting the major arcana into three lines, a lot of times there can be, when we're thinking about the Chariot, there's maybe a tension, or there's just like you're combining two different things into one, or you're looking at something that's kind of holding you back and then something that's sort of going to move you forward, and you have to think of a way to kind of connect them or merge them so that you can move forward. When Temperance shows up, there is this same theme of merging or blending, but it's less of a limited way, and it's more of a, the possibilities are kind of endless, and you can kind of get them from anywhere. You can get them from air. You can get them from water. You can get them from the past. You can get them from imagination. So this is also sort of this idea where after death, after we've sort of reached our own breaking points or our own limits, we come into this beautiful clearing of being able to make even more connections now that what is no longer serving us has been swept away.
Yes. Yes, yes. I love the alchemical aspect of this card. One major thing in alchemy, one major principle is the idea of solve a coagula, to dissolve and to bring back together again. Alchemy is the art of perfection. And by that, I don't mean it in a perfectionist sense where nothing is ever good enough. More in the sense of constant evolution and adaptation to circumstances. So I love this quote from the Crowley Tarot, from the Crowley Tarot. By applying alchemy to our own body and psyche, we can penetrate through the dross of stored patterns and behavior and discover repressed areas of illness and willingness to suffer to which the mind is otherwise blind. So I had a little story about that. In my life, I've had lots of upheaval recently, moving, relationship shakeups and stuff. And now that things have started to settle down, I'm back to meditating, being in nature. I have my ritual table out again now that I've moved, and I'm starting to feel better. But one thing that I notice is that my phone can really throw off my whole day and make me feel like my life is totally slipping out of my control. If I don't look at my phone when I wake up, if I get up, do yoga, meditate, make myself something delicious to eat, and then I start working, then I just feel like my whole day goes smoothly. If I even glance at my phone when I wake up, I get sucked in, then I'm late, I don't get a chance to meditate or stretch, I just like grab a piece of toast, and I just feel like I'm hustling. So Temperance is like the light of awareness. I bring awareness to the fact that my phone causes my whole day to slip off track, and I find creative solutions, like leaving my phone in another room at night or keeping it on airplane mode until a certain hour. Because what's in your control, you can manage and you can decide to change. So this idea of, you know, perfecting something, of recognizing what's going wrong, of experimenting, of noticing, of paying attention, and then using that sort of active awareness to transform that pattern represents to me that kind of agency that you see in the Temperance card that is pulling the healing out of the loss of death.
Yeah, absolutely. 10 to 10, 10 to 10 rule, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. phone rule.
Ooh, what's that?
You just turn your phone off and you don't turn it on until 10 a.m. and then you're only on it until 10 p.m.
This is a good strategy.
I also just, this is like, has nothing to do with Temperance, but I also just, the only thing that will ever wrap me up or derail me is Instagram, because it's the only social media I'm on. Mm. So if I make a post, I'll just then delete the app.
Oh yeah, you told me about that before, and I think that's a great idea. She deletes it off her phone.
And then if I have to go back on, it's because I have to do another post. And then I like comment to people or talk to people and do my biz, and then I just delete it again.
Yeah, Instagram is one of the
has nothing to do with temperance, but it is sort of principled.
We should leave it in the death card.
You know, last but not least, I'm not gonna talk much more about this concept, but I just want to mention it, the correlation of temperance and this idea of the bardo, which is a Tibetan Buddhist concept of a transitional or liminal state between death and rebirth. Death is death. Then we have temperance. We have this angel. I think it's really, really, really interesting that in the traditional tarot that a lot of us all use, we have the angel coming after death, but before the devil.
That's right. That's so important.
So I also, and again, this is just so personal and it's just my take on the progression of these cards, but I really don't see sort of a true rebirth, as it were, blossoming until we kind of get to the star.
Sure.
So I think about temperance as being this guide, almost like the angel in the card is taking your hand through the devil, through the tower, until we can kind of get another exhale in the star. Last but not least, before we get into the kind of meat, or vegan soy meat, as it were, of the episode, is just, you know, this idea that we are ending the second line of this interior journey. And the third line has to do with connecting to the superconscious. Like this connecting to the superconscious is so much about true enlightenment. So this is kind of like this is like the hors d'oeuvre or the appetizer of enlightenment before we get into the sweeping, expansive enlightenment that meets us in the devil, in the tower, in the moon, in the sun, in judgment, in the world. So, you know, just thinking about this respite, and also thinking about, you know, we're ending something with this card. We're ending our long interior journey of transformation that has been quite epic.
Massively epic. I love that idea that this is like a glimmer. It's like the angel appears as a little glimmer that we see outside our field of vision, and we know we have some assistance, like, to help us through this final leg of our journey that we're going to be talking about next season with the final 7 cards on the grid. Special topics.
So, a lot of times folks will take the word temperance at face value with this card, and they will say that the main point or the key word of this archetype is moderation. Obviously, you've heard us talking, beautiful, adorable, genius listener. That's not it. This is kind of why language can be limiting, especially when we are working with sweeping archetypal complex energies, right? So I was speaking earlier with you, Amanda, where I was saying, like, I actually can't read with the Thoth deck or other decks that have the words on every single card with clients. I'd actually prefer to have just visual only decks, to be quite frank. I should probably look for one, but that's neither here nor there, because there's names on the deck like negativity or delusion.
Failure.
That's your personal fave. These are triggering and they're not subtle. And when you're reading for clients, you want to have a safe, supportive space. And sometimes they'll get hung up. Like, they'll be like, but wait, it says death.
I know, but you're like saying, well, that really means.
Right.
And they're like, good but times, it says right? on
it
here.
It says failure. So, like, temperance as one of the virtues signifies restraint, self-control, discretion. And sure, yes, of course, moderation. But I just want to go a little deeper here. This is about refraining from doing the ordinary, This is about refraining from reacting or doing your normal habits in order to gain mastery, harmony, and in obtain an enlightened flow state. Restraint from retaliation so you won't be violent, so that you can open into forgiveness and compassion. Restraint from arrogance so you can cultivate humility and get closer to whatever you call God or goddess. Restraint from excesses such as hedonism or going to extremes. You know, so this is life mastery. It's not just moderation, like don't drink or, you know, like, or don't eat too much or like whatever people want to put on other people. This is life mastery, angel style. This is how we stay on our path. This is how we ascend from it, the path that we started for ourselves back in the hermit.
So your issue with the word moderation is that you feel like that's kind of like saying, like, don't have that extra brownie at dessert, or, you know, be sure that you drink a cup of water if you have a cocktail at the bar. But you're saying, no, this is so
moderation
much more
on a deeper.
Right. That it's more about mastery, as you were saying, that it's about really knowing yourself really deeply and what works for you and what doesn't work for you, and then connecting that to something larger, some larger holy grail purpose of your life. Am I understanding correctly?
You are. You've hit it on the nose.
Well, wonderful. So, okay. So I wanted to address how temperance is different from the justice card and the lover's card. Do you ever, like, it took me a long time to understand temperance. I was always like, how is this different from justice and the lover's card?
I think it's really important for us to say this, like, even as people who have been reading the cards, and Amanda, you've had a deck with you since you were 12. There are cards that can be hard. And for me personally, this one, temperance, and it was judgment for me. Temperance and judgment were the two were tricky.
One.
So they were hard and it took a while. And I think what I love, Amanda, is I think you're going to kind of explain what helped you kind of get it. Mm. And I'll explain the card that helped me kind of get it.
Oh, yeah. That sounds good. Okay. So temperance, as I was saying earlier, represents the fulfillment of the union begun in the lover's card. So lovers, yes, is about combining elements, right? Which is also what the temperance card is about. But in the temperance card, that recombination into that third gender, that unified aspect of self, has already happened. And so we're blending aspects of both of our natures, our multitudes of natures, and losing something that couldn't fit maybe or weren't necessary, the trash. We're catalyzing that trash and we're creating new selves out of the old self. So another thing that I always felt was confusing was the relationship with the justice card, because justice is also about creating balance, finding harmony. We talk a lot about that in the justice episode. So how is it different? Well, in justice, we find balance externally in law, in policy, in the public sphere. In the lover's card, we find balance internally in our psyche, in the way we relate. In temperance, we find balance in both spheres. We harmonize, we create healing within ourselves and within the world. We've mastered, as Sarah was saying, we've mastered both of these things, the internal and the external. So for me, that really helped.
Yeah, no, I love, that's another thing, like, for you listening, and if you have cards that maybe you're unsure about, take out another card that kind of reminds you of that card and make your little list of compare and contrast, contrast and compare. For me, it was the Magician that helped me with this card. So this is how I kind of got a handle on the card. Temperance is diagonal from the Magician. Both cards are engaging with the elements. The way I think about temperance is like the Magician times a million evolutionary stages. The Magician is in their garden. They need their props. They need a little bit of them time, as it were. They are just learning that as above, so below. They're just learning that they are powerful. And as you've spoken about before, Amanda, the Magician isn't always moral. generally they can be selfish, which is actually absolutely perfect for them to be, because they kind of have to be. That's what we're sort of learning in this key. Temperance, however, also has access to the elements, but apart from the cups, they aren't props. They're the pure, raw elements themselves. The angel is communing and engaging with them in a way that they can make this impossible possible. They can move water up against gravity. They can access the elements directly. They don't need the kind of intermediary of the prop on the table that the magician is so proud of having. The angel has mastered their energy in such a way that they don't need that protected nook. They are the spell. They've cast themselves. They are also a magician for the masses. They're casting spells for collective energy. This is also where I sometimes think of this archetype as having a kind of bodhisattva energy to it. Like they kind of went through all this stuff in the Hanged One, in Justice, in Death, and they've decided with what they've learned, with their energy, with their autonomy, to help others, right? So we spoke about spirituality and spiritual cards like the Hermit and the Hanged One, right? And the Hermit episode, I talked about the irony of the monk or the nun as having to be like completely sequestered away in order to reach the divine. And Temperance to me is like the nun at the mall or the DMV. Like it's sister act, right? It's like how we stay with enlightenment in our everyday and how we serve others through this obtaining of enlightenment, and how every encounter can be an opportunity to assert our teachings and philosophies and beliefs through action and alignment.
Yes, yes, and yes. The angel in the card is the real I am, the ego in its most exalted form, ageless, undefiled, pure, our holy guardian angel coming to us. But also, as we've said, the angel sometimes is referred to as Michael, the Archangel Michael, the angel of the south, the solar angel, the angel of protection, who guards you and protects you from, for instance, the devil who comes next, right? So you're getting this extra protection as you then work towards moving along in your story and moving towards the devil card. Paul Foster Case, being uncharacteristically succinct, says...
We love you, Paul.
We do, but you do tend to go on. In your practice, he says, shoot at some definite mark. Quit accepting theories and statements, no matter how plausible they may be, until you have tested them out in actual practice. The purpose of ageless wisdom is to get you to try, not to persuade you to accept. The only failure is the failure to try. So from this we learn. We try, we fail, we rebalance, we add, we subtract, you try again. We fail better, as Samuel Beckett might say. Thus, this is the card of recombining, of reconstitution, of getting things back together again. Yes, it won't be exactly the same, but it might be more interesting. We might see cracks now, but it might also be wabi-sabi. Wabi-sabi.
I talk about that too.
You do?
I do.
Oh my gosh, because this card calls wabi-sabi into the room. It invokes wabi-sabi.
So interesting. Wabi, it's like we're on the same wavelength
on the same
something.
Podcast or something. So wabi-sabi is Japanese aesthetics, an idea in Japanese aesthetics that repaired cracks, signs of wear and tear are beautiful and make things more interesting, more beautiful. And so that's a good thing to remember for people who are dealing with fear of aging, for instance.
I mean, personally, I'm looking forward to aging like the finest wine.
You're doing it already, baby.
Yeah, well, it's my sweetheart would say wine, the wine part, for sure.
Delicious.
I wanted to talk
and dry.
About... I wanted to talk about Temperance as the alchemizing angel. As we've stated before, this key is about alchemy, which I believe is about transformation. The earliest alchemists were attempting to make synthetic gold, but they were also trying to transform and bend nature to the will of their human imagination. In some Greek myths, alchemy was handed over to the goddess Isis by an angel, which is where some of the symbolism might come in. As the result of all of their alchemy questing, the alchemists contributed to inventing science and chemistry. I like thinking about experimentation, about trying new and different combinations that can come up with this card, and how some of the best innovations can come through a process of curiosity. The earliest forms of alchemy combined astrology, magic, and scientific processes. Then it ended up splitting off, and so the occult and the metaphysical aspects of it became one thing, and science and chemistry became its other thing. We spoke about the 7 principles of alchemy. I'm not going to go into detail, but they are calcination, dissolution, separation, conjunction, fermentation, distillation, and our favorite word, coagulation. So out of these principles, there also evolved a form of spiritual alchemy, where one tried to transform our base form or mundane form of consciousness into an enlightened state. So if you get this card, this could be the process you are in personally. We can't control nature like the earliest alchemists wanted to, but we can control our personal natures, which this card can be about. We can transform from the inside out. I love that famous Leonard Cohen quote, "Act the way you'd like to be, and soon you'll be the way you act." That is what this card can sometimes come in to remind us. Number one, is it time for a personality makeover, a spiritual makeover? What elements do you need to tap into to feel more whole or different? What combinations can you experiment flowing with? Or two, something could be happening externally that you must deal with in a more enlightened way. My personal spiritual guru will sometimes coach me and will say, what will be or what can be the best possible situation of this scenario, and how can you make this happen? Or he'll question me and say, honestly and truly, what can you do? What is the way to make this the most loving situation it can be? When something that is going down in my life where I want to react in a way that really isn't my most enlightened self. So I really try to think about that. How can a challenging situation that is hard, that has a lot of conflict, serve the whole? Really, what is the best case scenario for the whole? And how can I act accordingly in order to transform it? Last but not least on this little leg, I'm learning the Kabbalah from a traditional Jewish perspective. And the last lesson I had with the rabbi, he was speaking about there being 2 forms of initiation, one that comes from above and then one that comes from below, aka inside of us. He was presenting that almost all of our initiations come from above, meaning outside of us, problems we have to solve, challenges that will pop up in our lives. However, he posited that they were usually a mirror to our interior. He was saying that when we also decide to self-initiate from the inside, when we use the external as a mirror to work with on the inside, when the external initiations happen to be raining down on us, this is how we become masters of our experience and masters of life. And I think of that with this card, this inner alchemy we can utilize that will transform situations into learning experiences. When we can apply insights and rise through the mud that many of our everyday life experiences can be, we're gaining enlightenment. Temperance in this way is our PhD of life certificate.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing. I feel like I want to visit your rabbi.
He's really cool. I love him.
That's such an interesting reflection on initiation and on healing and growth. I wanted to build on that with the idea of healing, the Temperance card as healer. So one thing that I advise you to do, dear and glorious listener, is to think about what healing means for you. So, for instance, think about a past experience you had that you consider to be a healing experience where you healed. Like, literally do it now. Think, when did I have a healing experience? And then consider what about that experience was healing for me. Because I think a lot of the time we just use words like healing or power or energy without really considering what they really mean. And that's one of the reasons why, for instance, spirituality or the work of spirituality is often treated as if it's stupid, is because we are vague with the words that we use. So let's think about healing. I wanted to give you a specific example from my life. So working on my book, over this past couple of years, I sacrificed a lot of bodily health. Newsflash, writing is bad for your health. It's really bad for your back. It's really bad for your wrists. I couldn't get an ergonomic desk set up. I didn't have the time to do that. I can't write standing up. Most of the time I was hunched over and my back has been seriously damaged and my wrists like barely move right now. And I was like, that's a sacrifice I'm willing to make this happen. But now every morning I wake up and my back hurts. But so I'm in the process of healing from that. What makes this experience healing? So in order to heal, I've had to use my creativity, right? I've had to imagine new ways of living my life. I've had to use my will, meaning I've had to do things that are not uncomfortable, that are not comfortable for me in order to change things. And I've had to use my resources, like I've had to use money, serious money, to fix this. So I've had to study ergonomics. I've had to learn new ways of setting up my desk. I've had to go to chiropractors, masseuses, prioritize taking breaks, which I don't normally do. You know, when you're writing, you're like, I can't take a break right now. I have to push through this. I have to sit differently. I have to commit to getting exercise even when my mind tells me I do not have enough time to do this. Like I have to say, okay, close the computer, get up and walk out that door. And I've had to make a lot of changes. But in doing so, my life has improved in so many ways. So it's not just my body that is healing from this. It's very important that I step away from the computer and don't just work and work and work. It's opened me up to new places that are available to me. You know, I went for a hike the other day when I was like thinking I didn't have time, but I was like, you need to prioritize your physical health, which is free, by the way. I know a lot of us don't have money to throw at doctors or chiropractors or whatever, but there are other options. So in doing so, my life's improved a lot. But it's important to note this. I did a lot of damage to my body. And I'm still working through it. And this is going to now have to be a lifelong commitment for me. I can't just go back to the way things were before. I can't pass back through the valley of death. But I know of other people doing similar things. Healing from addiction, for instance, requires making new friends, finding new ways of spending time with people, finding new things to do at openings when you feel uncomfortable. It means really radically changing your life. If you're diabetic, you might have to develop new ways of eating that initially you don't like. Or if you're healing from trauma, it might mean that you need to develop new ways of communicating, setting new boundaries, cutting certain people out of your life, and that might not be comfortable. So what I mean by this is that a healing experience is one not necessarily that means we are better than we ever were before. You know, I still have back pain. But I'm using my intelligence, my will, my creativity, my resources to bring myself back from that. And in doing so, it's also expanded my life so much because I'm making this commitment that when I was, you know, 20, I didn't have to do because I could spring out of bed. no matter what I did to my body.
Fine wine, fine wine.
Fine wine, exactly. But so I really wanted to share with you, gentle listeners, when you're healing, that is going to require you to do new things, to create new patterns. Whether or not you're healing from addiction, or you're healing your back, or you're healing your diabetes, or you're healing from a heartbreak, a breakup, or you're healing from a loss, you know, maybe someone that you cared about died. One of my favorite books on this subject, which I really, really want to share with you, gentle listeners, especially those of you who are experiencing loss or grief or broken heart, is this book called Heartbreak, Mourning, and Loss, Volumes 1 and 2 by Jeanette Paris. She's a Jungian scholar, and she talks about loss from a neurological, psychological, and mythological perspective. I'm going to have this in the show notes. I really encourage you to get this book. It's so interesting because part of this, part of the recovery process that is embodied in the healing process, is about doing new things, literally putting your body in new positions and places, which creates new neural pathways in your brain. It actually creates new brain tissue, new brain matter. So in this way, healing really is creative. It literally creates new brain tissue. So sometimes it's said that a healer is someone in whose presence you feel calm and strong and safe. But for me, to be a healer is to be someone who holds space for others while they reconnect to their internal and their external resources, which might sometimes feel uncertain, but which can ultimately lead to great things. A healer presents you with tools that you can use to adapt to your circumstances. And then healing itself is when you use those tools, when you take them up, when you bring them into being, when you cultivate them. So if you have a stomach ailment because of anxiety over your work, and you go to a psychiatrist who gives you meds, which help, but which don't lead you to making changes about the thing that is making you stressed, that doesn't qualify as true healing, in my opinion, because you're not really addressing the root causes of the issue. So true healing requires us to adapt and grow, but it doesn't just stop there. True healing will also have a social function. We don't just adapt to sitting at a desk all day to help the shareholders of Monsanto kill the bees on the planet. We find a way to cope with that. Yes, sometimes that's necessary. You know, it is necessary to take meds for your anxiety sometimes, but it's also necessary to empower ourselves within that and then ideally unite with other folks to address the imbalances in the world at large.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to throw it out there. I kind of want to have an episode in season 3 about healing because
Ooh, yeah.
I have a lot to say, and I know I want to stick to kind of temperance. But yeah, healing, it's misconceptions, it's miscontents, all of the above. You know, I don't call myself a healer because I believe, one, everyone can heal themselves.
Yes.
And two, everything that you spoke about with there being misconceptions about the New Age community and spiritual community, the word healing is so overused and it's so vague. I really think we should have an episode on it.
Let's do it.
Yeah, but for real. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah, I mean it.
Okay, let's do it. I wanted to talk about the idea of temperance as art. In the Thoth deck, and in another deck I'll use on myself called the Voyager deck, key number 14 is called art. Obviously, they are referring to the great art of alchemy. However, I do want to, for once in my life, take the word literally and extend this idea to two different forms of art. Art, like art, A-R-T, art, and the art of life. One of my favorite herbalists and witches, Robin Rose Bennett, reminds us in a really great book that all y'all might want to read. It's called Healing Magic, speaking of healing. She reminds us that magic is truly about living, living magically. I think about this concept a lot, and I think this card can be a reminder of this. When we live magically, we set our lives up in such a way that we receive joy, we ingest nourishment, we are consistently connecting to what we value, we are playing out and engaging our philosophies in our daily lives. And real talk, when we live magically, we need to do less spells because we have more access to magic in the daily with ease and with grace. So if this card is coming up for you and you are feeling maybe a little bit stagnant or you are feeling a little bit lacking, you can ask yourself, how do you define working with your own magic? What can be your expression of this? What does living magically look like for you? How can you embody it? What elements do you need to invite into your world? There's also this theme in this card of the art of reconciliation, accepting the impossible things about yourself. This acceptance can form the gold in the wabi-sabi of our lives. We are moving as a culture from an idea that we have to be just one thing to the idea that all of us are actually many things at all times. We can be all of these many things at once, and that's okay. This is one way we can attempt wholeness and reconciliation. And of course, the three of us are artists. So I also just want to talk briefly about art. Art is magic because the act of art making is transformation. Artists often make something out of nothing, or trash, as you reminded us, Amanda. Humans are all inherently creative. Maybe not everyone would agree with me, but I do believe we can extend the word artist to many, many more kinds of people. Chefs are artists. Farmers are artists, activists are artists, party planners are artists, gardeners are artists, lawyers are artists, therapists are artists, tarot readers are artists. You get the idea. Being an artist is about making work from creative skill and imagination. And of course, art, personally, art saved my life. None of the artists that saved my life might ever know that. I will probably never meet them. They may not even be making art to save anyone's life. They're not maybe trying to be healers. They're just, in quotes, artists. But they are healers. So if you're an artist of any kind, if you get this card, keep going. Keep making your art. Or keep focusing on the art of your life. I think of the proverb, art is long, life is short.
Lovely. Shadow time. The shadow knows. All right. So first of all, shadow with this card, some wounds never heal. Chiron is associated with the archer. Chiron is a centaur as well. And so sometimes things just hurt and we don't get over them. And there's something to be said for that. My main point here is really about spiritual bypassing. The idea that mindfulness or meditation or healing can solve social problems. Sometimes healing is not just a personal phenomenon. Our healing does not exist in a void, and it must engage with the context of our lives, our society, and our planet. So that might include reparations, environmental cleanup, relinquishing land rights, debt jubilees, learning how to apologize, how to listen, prioritizing the needs of others and the voices that of those who have been marginalized. Healing is a collective endeavor. Recombining might then mean addressing imbalances and finding radical new approaches.
Hear, hear. When this card comes up, it could be living a compartmentalized life. You know, not showing parts of yourself to your family or not showing up as your whole self in your job or just fragmentation in more than one way in your life. temperance in pop culture.
I only have one that I really want to address, aside from the suffragettes who ran the temperance societies in order to prevent their husbands from beating them. But I wanted to, just moving on from that quickly.
Moving right along.
Yeah, no, nothing to see in there. No, I wanted to talk about the movie adaptation, right? Because temperance is all about adapting. And the idea, okay, can I just tell
you. It's a great movie.
How brilliant that movie is.
Meryl.
Yeah, Meryl is great. But isn't it Charlie Kaufman who wrote it? I mean, dude is a virtuoso genius. And I really hope that he didn't do anything bad because I want to just like this guy. He adapts this book, The Orchid Thief, into a screenplay. And then within that talks about the idea of adaptation and evolution within the evolution of species on Earth. And then folds back to creating new forms and things within the Orchid Thief. Goes into this whole...
Breaks the fourth wall.
Then refers to himself
the
writing...
The 14th wall,
exactly. He goes and passes through some doorways. So then he refers to himself trying to write this screenplay adaptation. I mean, this is amazing. And to me, it really gets at the heart of what the temperance card is about. Is about using all these things. Using the Orchid Thief. Using his own life. Using the structure of screenwriting. Using the history of evolution on Earth. And recombining it into this new thing. This new film. This artwork. That then is participated on by Meryl Streep and whoever. This is adaptation and temperance at its finest.
You always have the best pop culture.
That
references.
Is so not true because I don't know anything in pop culture.
You can find the one thing that takes the card and describes it perfectly. So I also now want to rewatch that movie because, yeah, it's an incredible movie. I'm going to breeze right through mine. Nothing to see here. I have the OA. Have you watched that? Especially
Love
the
it.
Second season really gets more into the kind of healing angel. The first season does, of course, as well.
I like the first season because it has more dance.
I think about artists who work in a variety of mediums like James Turrell, who's very interested in light healing through his work, or Olafur Eliasson, who's an artist who makes art but also invents helping and healing modalities globally. I, of course, think about Hilda Off Klint with her channeling these spirit guides to help her make incredible work for the future, for the collective. You know, as we know, in her own life, she hid her work and didn't even show it. I, like, don't know any artists really who do that, you know? So that's, anyway, if you haven't invested time getting to know her and her work, I really would encourage you all to do so. These are sort of silly, but whatever, they're not silly. I love Enya, so I'm just going to say Enya.
Sail away, sail away, sail away.
Really beautiful, soothing, healing. She also lives in a castle with cats.
Then she is healed.
And oh, two men. And Carolyn says two
get
men.
Get it, get it.
Are their names Michael and Raphael? I also have just like PJ Harvey, Tori Amos, and really random, but I also think about Phil Collins' first solo record where he was set to do a free jazz record. Like, he was a free jazz drummer, but then his wife left him and he made that really, it turned out to be a blockbuster record, and it was literally about his broken heart. So it was like, take your broken heart and turn it into art.
I can hear it calling on the air tonight. Oh, Lord.
Do, 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 do.
Magic.
Magic.
Magic. All right. So I have this card visible when I do my healing work with my clients. It's on my healing altar. This is a time for you to begin a healing journey. Take a class on healing if you want to use this card magically. Learn
an intuition
a healing
class.
Maybe an
elemental
intuition class.
Intuition class.
Sound healing would be particularly favored. You might want to study alchemy, for instance. If you've been going through loss or feeling out of sorts, though, this card is magically telling you to prioritize your healing. Take time off. Restore, rejuvenate, prioritize your healing in whatever way you can. Really, listener, prioritize your healing Think about what that means to you and then go do it. Be aware of what you need to let go of and decide what you want to emphasize. Aim your arrow true and shoot it.
I love that. I just have a couple as well. One is it might be time for you to connect to your guardian angels or your guides. Another is I think about elemental healing. Just like the beautiful angel, you can try to connect to the elements that are all around you in a much more engaged and focused way. So thinking about what elements you might need specifically and working with them literally, magically, and metaphorically.
Exactly. Call in your guides to do a healing on you. That's such a great idea. You can do a meditation like that. Enter the temple of healing, the temple of temperance, and get a healing from that angel.
Amanda, we did it.
We made it to the end of the second line of tarot.
This was quite a journey.
This was hot. It was fascinating. It was everything I always dreamed it could be and more.
I learned so much from you.
I learned so much from you and Carolyn.
And Carolyn.
And our listeners with all their brilliant ideas that they'd float our way on Instagram and other places.
Listeners, we are so, so grateful to you. We read the reviews. We are really, like, honestly, lovingly, and wonderfully surprised by all of you out there listening to us.
We want to thank the people in Freiburg. We want to thank the people in Argos, Stallone. We want to thank the people in Salamanca. We're just looking at all these places on the map. We want to thank the people in Singapore, in Bengaluru, in Pune, in Jakarta, in Kurimundi. Thank you, all of you listeners.
So exciting.
Thank you all across the world. Witches all across the world. I love it so much.
We can't wait to be back with you. Coven members will be in touch with you. We'll be, doing some stuff for you, some workshops, some goodies, some meditations, so on and so forth. So just stay tuned to hear from us.
Yeah, we're going to be putting out some really great special things for you, especially covered members. In this time that we are gone, we've got some great spells and some workshops and some things we're going to be sending your way. But in the meantime,
we'll be back in early fall. So if you have enjoyed this podcast and you haven't given us a review that is loving,
we
would love your loving reviews. You can let your friends know. You can hop on our newsletter list. You can take a class with Amanda, pre-order her book. You can see Carolyn perform at the Getty July 13th. You can sign up for my newsletter and take my class. And we'll, of course, be in touch on the World Wide Web.
Yeah, and exactly as Sarah said, like, even if you can't really become a coven member right now, your reviews are always welcome, especially if they're nice.
We love you.
Have an amazing summer. We are sending blessings to you to enjoy the summer. Let the sun energize and empower you and call your heart to courage. Let yourself enjoy it with your community and like find that healing power to like wabi-sabi it all the way home.
And just try to have a little bit of fun too.
Yeah, fun. Fun, forever fun.
Witches in the coffee shop, witches in the dorms, witches in the hair salon, there's a witch wherever you are.